T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy President's Day, everybody. An honor to be with you. Dun, 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 dun. Patrick and I named the most presidential athletes in the world today, and we also impeached 3 poor franchises and souls. I had 4, actually, on my list today. As for us right now, coming up in this hour, in the next segment, we're going to hear from Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. What does Carolina have to do to make the dance? And is it time to part ways with Brad Brownell? Plus, are we going to witness the expansion of March Madness yet again? What a horrible idea that would be. We'll hear from Jerry Palm coming up in the very next segment. Have a real funny, I'll just say this. A best thing I heard today coming up at the bottom of the hour that I really, really like at the end of the hour here today. As for us right now, it is time to do a little ditty that we call Either Or. Either Or gives you three questions on life and sports where you merely pick one option or the other. Either Or starts right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here you go. As an opposing pitcher, Patrick, would the Astros be earmarked for high heat if you were an opposing pitcher? Okay? You're the pitcher facing the Astros. You plunking them? You grazing them?
No.
You hitting them in the backside?
No.
Are they earmarked for a message?
No.
Yay or nay?
I don't think you should intentionally hit them. I don't think you should. Instead, knowing that they don't have any signals, knowing that they're under the
MLB. How do we know?
Well, they're under the MLB eye now, and everyone is going to blow anything that they hear at a loud noise or anything that looks weird on the Astros games from now on. That's just going to be the nature of the beast. So I would do what everyone should do and strike them out. You should pitch to strike every batter out. I don't even care if it's the pitcher. You should be throwing 99, upper right corner pitches to them, throwing breaking ball pitches that are way out of the zone. Make them look silly. Don't hit them because that fuels their fire. Make them look foolish and silly to show that they did actually cheat.
What is this? Probably about the 10th show that you and I have done together?
Yep.
Right? I've never agreed with anything you've said more than that. Okay? The bean balls that exist in Major League Baseball are the biggest chicken bleep move ever. And, the pros will say, you don't get it, man. You don't. Well, I did play baseball growing up, and we didn't have bean balls at those levels. So as we get older, we actually get more immature. Is that what happens? No, I'm not going to bean the Astros. I think that's weak. I would run smack against them. I absolutely would run smack, but I draw the line at trying to injure somebody. Honestly, folks, I just feel like a lot of these guys have pristine reputations and they're slime balls. And, I'll make this another either or of my own, Patrick. If you're a married guy, Jose Altuve is beloved in the city of Houston.
Yep.
Right? Beloved. He's the guy that you couldn't tear his jersey off because of whatever he's got underneath his jersey. Right? He's involved in this cheating Ponzi scheme. And also, I took so much heat from media members and fans when I was in Houston because he's a married man and they got pictures of him, like circled his Instagram, liking nude photos of other women on Instagram. And I just said, look, you're a married man. That's not what you should be doing. You should apologize to your wife. And the entire city of Houston was telling me to hang myself after I said that. You did not come after one of Houston's chosen ones. As a matter of fact, a host in Houston was still arguing with me about that less than a month ago. And it happened over a year ago, Patrick. So I don't know, man. If you're a married man, you shouldn't be doing that stuff, right?
No, and I agree. This whole scandal has kind of made everyone in the Astros organization, because I remember whenever they were going to the World Series, everyone was rooting for him. Everyone's like, oh yeah, Houston all the way.
Hurricane Harvey, yeah, you're pulling for them. They were the feel-good story.
They've tainted everything.
Everything. They have gone, you know, the last time we saw this in sports, a cute story became the villain, the Golden State Warriors, when they got Durant.
Yeah.
Before they got Durant, they were a feel-good story.
They were.
They were an organic team, a bunch of guys that had been passed over, Draymond Green, second round. Stephen Curry had Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio selected ahead of him in the draft. Klay Thompson went 12th in the draft in the NBA. And Kevin Durant overnight changed them from beloved to villain.
Yep.
This situation in Houston changes them from a cute feel-good story, the little engine that could, Jose Altuve, to these are some dirty, skeevy, slimeball people, man. All right. What do you got, Patrick?
So this is taking it a little bit out of the context, but I feel like let's have a dream match. Why not?
Okay.
In a dunk contest, prime Vince Carter versus Aaron Gordon. Who wins?
This is brutal for me. This is brutal because I want to say Vince because I love Vince, and I don't have the same affinity for Aaron Gordon. But if look, man, if you take the names off the back of the jerseys and you're just watching the dunks, Aaron Gordon's a better dunker. I'm going with Aaron.
See, for me, I think I'm going to stick with Vince.
As a better dunker.
I think Vince Carter could do, like, if prime Vince Carter.
Why didn't he do it?
Because he didn't need to. He was winning no matter what, and
so
he was doing bare minimum.
So you need to?
In an all-star game, yeah. But if we're going with a just dunk contest, I think Vince Carter could pull out some bags, you know, pull out some tricks out of his bag. I would love to see that.
All right, so he's going Vince. I'm going Aaron Gordon. Next up for me, Tim Tebow. And this breaks my heart, man. This absolutely breaks my heart. Tim Tebow has had conversations with the XFL. Quote, there was some communication. We had a couple of conversations, but it was pretty clear that wasn't going to happen, Tebow told reporters. I love what they're doing, he said. I think it has a chance to have success, and I think that's great. I think there needs to be a place for a lot of players who are really good and should and could be playing in the NFL and are better than a lot of NFL players. I think it's awesome and good for a lot of guys who are going to get a spot on an NFL roster because they're going to show a team they're worth it. But baseball is what I wanted to do and pursue and be all in on. Listen, man, it's what he wants to do, and you can never tell anybody what they're wanting to do is a mistake. But in terms of professional success, Patrick, is this move a mistake or a solid decision for Timothy T?
Honestly, it's not a positive and it's not a negative either. I mean, he's going back to doing what he was already originally going to do and play baseball. He wants to be a baseball player. Let him keep going with his baseball dream. If it works out, it works out. The thing is that the XFL doesn't need Tim Tebow. It would help tremendously if he got Tim Tebow because everyone would watch. Everyone would watch Tim Tebow's first game.
But and nobody's seeing him in baseball. Nobody.
The thing about Tebow is when he makes his mind up to something, he's going to do that thing that his mind is already on.
And you respect that.
I respect the heck out of that. Plus, you know, he's a newly married man. Maybe baseball's a little bit easier.
No, it's not. You know, the XFL season's 3 months long, man. Well, this baseball season, he doesn't see his wife. He's traveling in a bus to minor league cities all over the place.
What I'm saying is that it may be easier on his body, the wear and tear.
We'll see.
Plus, he's, you know, a public speaker.
He's got a lot of things going on.
I say it's okay that he's not in the XFL. I would have loved to see him, absolutely. I would love to see a Cardale Jones versus Tim Tebow match.
He'd be the MVP of that damn league if he was
Cardale Jones, baby, all the way. Come on, DC Defenders.
Okay, so here's the thing. It's a bad move for Tim Tebow. It's a bad move for Tim Tebow because if he's honest with himself, he's already done more in baseball than anyone thought he could have, right? He hit like 280 in Double-A, which was – he's such a better player than Michael Jordan was. It's not even funny. But he went up to Triple-A, hit like 150, 160. It's not good enough. He's in his 30s. In terms of like having a real future in a sport, I think he's spinning his wheels, and I think he would single-handedly double the viability of the XFL if he was playing in it, man. The guy's a living superhero, and I'm heartbroken that he's not doing it. All right. And doesn't it suck, too, that the seasons overlap? Maybe he could have done both, right? Maybe he could have done both.
Do a Bo Jackson?
Yeah, that would have been incredible. Next up, Patrick, what do you got?
So, I mean, obviously we have the Daytona 500 on right now, and we had the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game last night. If you had to sit down and pick one to watch throughout, are you picking the NBA All-Star game or the Daytona 500?
Yeah, I didn't really watch all of either one.
That's what I'm saying. If you had to sit down and pick one, don't worry, I didn't watch either.
I think I'm going Daytona 500.
See,
I think I'm going Daytona 500 if I have to watch one all the way through. Listen, NBA game, NBA game. NBA playoff game, easy. NBA All-Star game means nothing versus the Super Bowl of NASCAR. Brother, it's kind of the Olympics theory. You put a gold medal on the line, I'll watch tiddlywinks. Okay, it's the Olympics, man. You put those rings out there, I'll watch it. You tell me this is the Super Bowl of your sport over an exhibition, I'm watching the Super Bowl. What say you?
See, I'm watching the Daytona 500. It's one of the premier races of the year. I don't really love the NBA as much anymore. I fell out of watching the NBA games, rather regular season or anything like that. So for me, I prefer watching NASCAR over the NBA. So I go with Daytona 500.
And finally, for me, more than 10 items in the express lane or the loud movie talker. What is the greater offense? What is the greater offense, Patrick?
Loud movie talker.
What bashes your banana more?
Loud movie talker. I'm okay for the person that has more than 10 items in the express lane, okay? I'm okay with it. Usually when I go to the grocery store, I have my headphones on, okay? A-okay with that. I can listen more music. I'm A-okay with that. However, when there is numerous signs to say silence your cell phone and hush your daggum mouth and you continue to talk throughout the movie or make way too much noise laughing, I'm going to say you need to go step outside or have a private screening of this movie, okay, where you get to see the bootleg version of it through a television screen.
Listen, brother, I don't know what's getting into you. The show's more entertaining when we disagree, but I'm totally with you. Not only am I not offended by the more than 10 items in the express lane shopper, I am that shopper. I'm always like, okay. 25.
Take it back. I take back everything.
25. Is this really a problem here? 25. It's only a couple more minutes for the person behind me. What's the issue? But listen, man, listen, nothing curdles my cheese more than in an arena that's supposed to be quiet. We're supposed to be focusing on, you know, because what are you doing at a movie? You're suspending disbelief is what you're doing, right?
Yep.
You are training your mind that what I'm seeing is actually real. You ever walked out of a movie when it's over and you have a shock to get back to real life because you were so engrossed in what you were watching? Nothing breaks that worse than the baby crying, than the chit-chat, then opening up the candy wrapper constantly, then the person who just won't stop making a ton of noise. I will talk to you. I will speak up and talk to you if you are that person at the movie, okay? Because I didn't pay not to hear. I paid to get
engrossed
in the movie.
Movie tickets aren't cheap.
They're not cheap, man. They're all movie tickets right now are all double digits, aren't they?
Yeah.
Basically, every single movie ticket's double digit price tag.
Yep.
You know? Freshman year of Florida, man, Tuesday nights, they had $3.75 movies, okay?
Yeah.
Tuesday night, $3.75 movies, man. It was awesome. And the real good movies, too, not just crappy ones. Incredible. And finally, Patrick, what do you got?
So I'm going back with the first thing that you talked about the Astros hitters getting beamed. Turns out Vegas has put odds on it.
Wow.
Over under 82.5 players getting beamed this year. Over under 82.5.
Just Astros?
Just Astro players getting beamed.
Beanball. 82.5 would be more than one every two games. Because 162 games, 81 would be half. You said 82.5.
Yep.
Listen, man, I just have more hope for the population of the United States than that. I'm going to go under. I've got to think that a majority of pitchers are thinking the way you and I do, dude. It's not martial law, man. You don't take the law into your own hands. You know, you have to respect the game. And plus, this is people's livelihoods. I'm of the camp that a baseball is a weapon. And if you're consciously trying to injure somebody with a weapon, that's punishable by, you know, it should be punishable by law, in my opinion.
I'm going to say over. The reason I'm saying over is because it's going to be much more of a media attraction to baseball if more and more Astro pitchers get hit. I hate that I say that, but it's going to happen. A lot of pitchers are going to be upset and hurt by what they were doing. I mean, Justin Verlander said a while ago that he would much rather face juiced up batters than batters who know his pitches. So for me, I'm looking at this. Pitchers are taking extra offense to this because they stole basically their livelihood. There was a pitcher who got cut from the team because the Astros were stealing signals from him, and he let up like 6 runs in an inning. He got cut the next day just because the Astros were stealing signals. For me, pitchers are taking this to an extra level of offense. Don't be shocked if in the first game you see 5 or 6 Astro hit players get hit by pitches. It very well could happen.
No way.
It very well could happen.
No, I think more highly of people than that. All right, coming up next, we're going to be joined by CBS Sports' preeminent college basketball guy, Jerry Palm, joins us next. How would he assess the job Brad Brownell has done at Clemson? Who's the best team in the country? And we're not going to have further expansion in the NCAA tournament, are we? This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So look, in terms of ESPN.com's page, South Carolina made the bubble watch for the first time this year. I think that's interesting, something to follow as we head towards the end of the season. But what does the future of the NCAA tournament look like? And how would our next guest size up Clemson? Let me tell you a little bit about Jerry Palm. He is, according to his Twitter bio, the resident sports geek at CBS Sports. He is a band geek, too. So was I. He went to school with bass clarinet. I went on trombone. And he was a 4-year All-American at Purdue. Don't hate, appreciate. And I certainly do, because he's been coming on my show for about 10 years. Jerry Palm joins us right now on the show. Our first chance to talk to you here in 2020. Jerry, hope everything is going well, bud. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. Okay, Jerry, so
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were a band geek.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite band story?
Oh, yes. They're too long for the show.
How about a quick version of it?
My bus got a flat tire on the way back from Iowa.
Okay.
That's an 8-hour drive to Purdue.
Okay.
That was a long, miserable night, but we fortunately had a bar at the same exit as the truck stop where the bus was being fixed.
Wow.
The bad news is none of us had eaten dinner yet.
Oh, no.
But the drinking age in Iowa was 18. And, yeah, that was a memorable night that many of the people on the bus probably don't remember.
All right. Can I share mine with you?
Sure.
Okay, I played in on a punk band that played on the Warped Tour, which was a ton of fun.
Oh, wow.
And then at Florida, I was in the marching band at Florida. A fellow trombone player and I staged an Animal House-esque fall down in the middle of one of our performances without cluing in our band director. Okay. Guess whose arms are still sore from the number of push-ups we had to do at the following practice the next day.
Yeah.
Wasn't great. Wasn't a great look for me, Jerry. But anyway, let's get to the task at hand here. How do you size up? How do you make sense of Clemson? Two top five wins this year, losses to Miami, Yale, and Wake Forest, a mediocre overall record at 13-12, 7-8 in league play, but great wins. How do you make sense of that team?
I call that a blind pig finding an ear of corn once in a while.
Okay.
I mean, that's just how it goes. I mean, you know, Stephen F. Austin beat Duke too. It's just, you know, that's why they call them upsets. I mean, there isn't anything about Clemson. You didn't even mention their worst losses, which are Virginia Tech and Miami at home. I mean, this team can't see the bracket from where they are. I mean, unless, you know, they win the ACC tournament, they've got a shot. But, you know, I mean, they're in. But there's no at-large hopes for Clemson.
Yeah, just too many losses. And it's beyond frustrating to the fans here that you're capable of you know, their peak is incredible. You know, their ceiling is wowing, but they can't do it consistently, and the losses just confound you. It's just incredibly frustrating to the people here, Jerry.
Yeah, there are other teams that are like this that have got one moment of glory or maybe two in an otherwise pedestrian season.
You know, I'll tell you, Jerry, I try to make a point not to ever call for people's jobs, because in this you know, volatile industry, I've lost mine on a handful of occasions. But Brad Brownell at Clemson, assuming they don't win the ACC tournament, he'll be at two tourney berths in 10 years. Now, half of the Clemson faithful, you know, they're loyal to anything regalia and orange. They'll ride and die with Brad Brownell to the end. The other half are saying, we should expect more than this. How would you assess Brad Brownell at Clemson?
I would say that this particular year is frustrating because there was so much opportunity to fill in the gap behind the top three in this league, which frankly nobody has done. The top three in this league are light years ahead of the rest of this league. But I don't know what Clemson, you know, I haven't followed them closely because they aren't bracket relevant.
Sure.
I can't follow everybody closely, but
I understand,
you know, so I don't know if they've had injuries or other roster issues, or if they're just struggling to be consistent this year, or if they're young. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you what's going on at Clemson that might be, you know, circumstantial, but, you know, Clemson's used to winning football national championships. So I don't know if that means they don't care as much about basketball, because at some places that's true, or if that means that their standards are just higher in general. I mean, the fan base, not the athletic administration, because they want to win everything. But, or, you know, maybe fans don't care as much because football's so good, or maybe fans think that everything should be that good and would be frustrated that it's not.
Jerry Palm joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. I know you are with CBS. You know, it's been interesting to kind of watch South Carolina this year, and Frank Martin still trying to build on the momentum of the Final Four appearance a few years ago. Do you believe, Jerry, that South Carolina 16-9, 8-4 overall has made its way onto the bubble?
Yes, absolutely. I had them on the bubble last week. They're on the back end of it, but yes, still on the bubble, still have a shot. It would help them if Arkansas would do better and Virginia would do better, because those are two of their three best wins. Kentucky's fine. But, you know, they've got those two early season losses to Boston U and Stetson, and it's going to take more than a win over Kentucky as a definite tournament team to make up for that. And when you look at what they have left, LSU at home, that's a tournament team. Everybody else is either somebody they're competing with on the bubble or somebody who could only hurt them. And so they've gotten hot to get to this point, but now given the rest of the schedule they have left, they've got to stay hot, because most of the teams that beat them are hurting them.
Jerry Palm joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Gun to your head, Jerry, who's the best team in the country?
Baylor.
Wow.
They've had a fantastic season. They're
really
the number
have.
One overall seed in the bracket for a reason. I am perfectly fine with any of those top four. Baylor, Kansas, Gonzaga, San Diego State. Those are all fantastic teams. In terms of bracket positioning, there's a clear line between them and the rest of the bracket. That doesn't necessarily mean they're leaps and bounds better than all of those other teams. I'm not sure that there is leaps and bounds better than all of the other teams this year. But those four teams have had the best seasons, and there's a gap between them and everyone else.
I want to finish today, Jerry, with two wider picture, wider lens discussions here. Here in the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto State, fans make excuses for the mediocre play of the Gamecocks, Clemson, not one team from the state making the tournament a year ago, by saying oftentimes that, okay, well, we only have 5 million people here. That's an issue. But Florida was a football program and my alma mater, and Billy Donovan in basketball made them a basketball school as well. But people say, well, if you got 20 million people there, only 5 million people in South Carolina. I think that's kind of hogwash. I think, you know, when you look at the job Mark Few has done in Gonzaga, it's not like there's a ton of people out where he is. I don't necessarily think population has a lot to do with the makeup of a good basketball program, especially considering Lawrence, Kansas, Wichita State in that particular state. Is there anything to the population of South Carolina having to do with the mediocrity of the team, Jerry?
No.
Or how do you size that up?
Recruiting is national anymore anyway. I mean, there was a day 25 years ago maybe when, there were some places that recruited nationally, but a lot of it was provincial. You know, the Midwest schools recruited the Midwest mostly. And there's still some truth to that in general, but it's much more of a, you have access to players nationally that you never had 25 years ago. You have access not just to communicate with them and see them, but you have good information on them that you probably would not have had. So recruiting is a national thing, and you can't just get locked into your state and think that I don't care what state you're in. There's not too many states where you're going to win national titles with guys only from your state.
Finally, Jerry, what does the future of the NCAA tournament look like in your opinion? Is further expansion in the crystal ball? I certainly hope not.
If they're going to do that, I hope they wait till I retire. I don't want to be around for that.
You don't want to be doing bubbles of 200 teams?
Once you expand to 96, everyone's on the bubble.
Yeah,
and they
true.
Actually considered that back then. And you do away with the NIT because there'd be no point. You know, you're basically adding the entire NIT to the NCAA tournament. Now, it becomes high school when it gets too big, you know, when everybody gets to make the tournament, which is great for high school. But we don't need that in the NCAA. I don't know that we're going to see expansion. I don't think anybody's unhappy with the format they have now. I haven't heard any talk about expansion at all. I suspect, you know, the next TV deal is going to have, or I guess media rights deal, because who knows if we'll even have TVs, in the traditional sense by the time that comes around.
True.
We'll drive, any sort of changes to the format at some level, but my suspicion is that they're happy with what they have.
Jerry Palm, resident sports geek at CBS Sports, college football, college basketball. He's got really, really good, insightful stuff. It's on CBSSports.com presently. And Jerry, first chance getting to check in with you here in the new year. Greatly appreciate you. Thanks for making the time on this holiday, and loved hearing your band story, man. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. I love yours too. And call anytime.
Thank you very much. Jerry Palm at JP Palm, CBS, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Our thanks to Jerry Palm for joining us in that segment. Always good stuff. Always great to catch up with him. You know, can you believe it? March Madness is right around the corner. I'm having all these weird deja vus lately, ladies and gentlemen. All these weird deja vus, having been here now a year, and I just can't believe how quickly it's gone by. I can't believe that we're already here again. Just a couple weeks left in the basketball regular season. Kind of hoping and praying that we're going to have state representation in the NCAA tournament this year. You know, we've talked about it. I think Furman's the one right now that has the best shot. I really do. I think Clemson has no shot. I think South Carolina, and I can hear you Clemson fans yelling at me through your speakers when I say that. I get it. I can hear you, you know. I can. But unless they win the ACC, there's no shot of that happening. And I know what you're saying. Mark Ryan, they beat Louisville. They beat Duke. Why can't they win the ACC? I just don't see them stringing together multiple outstanding games, because we haven't seen them string together multiple outstanding games the entire season up until this point. It just hasn't happened. Speaking live in terms of what's going on right now, Patrick, if you would, please give us an update on the Daytona 500.
So we've got 19 laps to go. Keselowski and Newman lead the pack. But we're kind of getting to that moment where everyone's trying to find anybody to work with to try to get to the front. It's about to be a madhouse. Stenhouse Jr., pole sitter, is already out. Spun out, hit the infield wall. No caution was brought out.
So he's out of the race now?
He's out of the race. Front end damage is way too much, and it could not be fixed in the amount of time that's left in the race. Oh, no. That's an engine. Kyle Busch's engine is blown.
And so is he now done?
Oh, he's going to be done.
Like, as a total NASCAR novice, explain to me what I'm seeing here.
His engine's blown. Like, his engine is running on fumes in the sense of, there's probably going to be some oil leakage on the track. So I'm shocked there's no caution out yet. But there was a bunch of smoke coming out of his car, which signals one of three things. It's either he has a flat tire and it's just smoking up, or his engine's blown, or just something weird happening to his car. But he is done. He has to be done.
Let me ask you this question. What would one of these cars cost? Not if Jimmy Johnson drove it or Ricky Stenhouse Jr. drove it, but just the car itself. What would one of these cars cost at a local dealership?
I'm not 100% certain, but I think it's in the range of $750,000.
$750,000 per car. Because I was going to ask, if these cars are so safe now that you can't die in them.
His motor's blown. He's slowing.
If these cars are so safe now that you can't die in them, why aren't we all driving around in these things? you know what I'm saying? You can't die in these things these days.
Oh, big crash. Oh, no. Okay, see, this is the big one.
Okay, so
this is the big one.
Patrick, this is bad radio when we do play-by-play on
the air. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a big crash, but here's the reality of the situation.
No, the leaders are gone.
Oh, I understand.
This took out the leaders.
Okay, so
Johnson's out.
So when something like this happens, somebody can just take you out?
So what? This is probably, I got to see a replay. That's Kurt Busch right there. Kurt Busch is out. That was a leader, Brad Keselowski. He's out.
So somebody can just take you out?
No one can take you out. It's a sense of the car.
Am I able to take out a driver if I don't want him to win? What will happen to me if I take him out?
You'll get penalized and suspended.
But he doesn't get the win.
He doesn't get the win, but you
lose. So if I'm not going to make the playoffs anyway, why don't I just take somebody out I don't like?
Because that will blacklist you in NASCAR. People don't want that kind of driver. So I got to see what happened here, because Keselowski was the lead. Oh, he's in second place right now.
The yellow car in the fourth row is going to bump him. See that?
No. Keselowski's a two-car. Two-car in the front.
Yeah, see, the yellow car bumped.
Which is his teammate, Joey Logano.
Logano bumped somebody into.
I think he pushed A.J. Allmendinger into the back of Keselowski.
So this
Keselowski
has now ruined the whole race.
No.
It's ruined the whole race.
No, it's gotten
this
it more exciting.
This is what happens with NASCAR. What do you mean it's gotten more exciting? The people who should win are not going to win now.
No, because we still got Ryan Newman
up in the
front.
The cars are ruined.
Ryan Newman's still up in the front. Yes, Jimmy Johnson is out. His last Daytona 500, he is out. But, I mean, we get a lot of interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting and it's entertaining, but you know what it isn't? It's not just.
How is it not just?
How is it just to be knocked out of a race when you didn't do anything wrong?
So that
how is
one,
that, how is
he
that
got
Justin
loose.
Wright?
He got loose and got
bumped.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of guys now knocked out of the race that had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, that's racing.
It's luck.
No, that's racing.
When the outcome of your sport is dependent upon luck,
no,
you got a problem.
This is 100% racing right here.
I understand that it's racing. No, it's also luck. 20 guys are now out of the race.
This has everything. Well, I mean, do you say a person's drive in golf is luck due to the clubs?
No,
the
it's
clubs?
Not luck.
No, it is. Due to the fact that the club's aerodynamics make it easier for the person to hit the ball in a trajectory.
But you have
in
to
form.
Have an immense amount of skill.
Yes,
see, there's guys involved in this wreck now that are now out of the race that they're not responsible for the car accident.
This is Daytona. This is the race where everything can go wrong that happens.
I have a NASCAR defender here on the show. We've gotten along so well up until this point, Patrick.
How is this? What is your problem with this and the fact that, the true winner didn't win? That could have happened to anybody.
I get it.
In the sense of...
I get it, but I'm not considering your standings viable. Because let's say you just had a really unlucky year where you got involved in four of these messes right at the end of the races, and you were in a position to get first, second, or third place, and now you're knocked out of it.
You're knocked out of the race. You're not knocked out of the postseason. Okay?
Oh, I get it. But all these guys, they don't get points for this race now, right?
No, they'll get points. They just won't get the amount of points that they would
right.
have if they got
so
the
are
higher
they,
positions.
Are they, if all the guys knocked out of the not knocked out of the race, do they get the points for what place they were in at the
no.
time of the wreck?
They get the points on what position they finished in.
Well, they're done.
Yeah. So, like,
Keselowski, that's the answer to the question. They get the points in line with what place they were in at the time of the accident.
No. They get points, so they will have a finishing grid. So the people who
but they're
are
not going to finish.
That there's saying that they're out, like they ran a certain
amount.
Oh,
I see
amount
what you're saying.
They placed 40th, stuff like that. Where they are in the place is the points they get.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to NASCAR for Dummies right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Hey, I mean, it's fine.
Patrick has given me the 101 on NASCAR. Hopefully you guys learned something from it as well.
And I told you off air before we came on, I said something's about to happen. Because it happens every time for
yeah, that number 22 should be banned for the whole rest of the year.
Okay, that's for a different point that he should be banned because he's an idiot.
The whole rest of the year. He started that crap. That's Logano?
Logano's
he's
an idiot. Yeah.
He should be out for the whole rest of the year for that. He's clearly riding up on some guy.
Well, that's the thing about Daytona. To go faster, you need someone to give you a bump draft in the sense of the aerodynamics for the car go a lot quicker when the two cars
that.
Go right behind each other.
I played the NASCAR video game. You always tried to get right up on top of him, but he got too close. He got too close, man. Look, you can't do that. Okay, let's check on the text line. Mark, I have some movie names to describe my sex life. Old School, Tropic Thunder, and Full Metal Jacket. Mark, it's been recently leaked that Philadelphia is in line for an XFL team next year. My question is, do you think Greenville could sustain an XFL team? A topic coming up your way on tomorrow's show, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. A texter says, Mark, shouldn't recruiting just be a part of college football? I was giving you my observation, the 10 most popular... Here's how I'll say this. My list of priorities as a host here in the Upstate, based on what I've learned about your interests the first year. So another way of saying it is the top 10 most popular sports in the Upstate or where we should be spending our time. And I said, number one, college football. Number two, NFL. Number three, college basketball. Number four, recruiting. Number five, NBA. Six, MLB. Seven, PGA Tour. Eight, college baseball. Nine, UFC. And 10, high school football. And we have a texter that says, shouldn't recruiting just be a part of college football, Mark? Recruiting is a year-round thing. It's its own animal. It's its own animal. It's its own sport, if I'm honest with you. It doesn't – I think I separate those from college football because they're different discussions, right? Different discussions entirely. My problem with NASCAR is, Mark Ryan, you can have a guy who's won 8 races lose the championship to a guy who's won 1. The point system is a failure. Stop being guy who just defends everything that NASCAR does. I'm with the texter here. You should never have a champion that wins 1 race over a guy that won 8 who doesn't have the points to win. Come on, man.
No,
if that's the case, you gotta give more points to the winner.
Did you hear me defending that point? No, because he's right. In the sense of, yes, if you win eight races in the year, you should have a higher standing going into the championship, the final race. And it comes ultimately down to the final race if you're in that top four area. But nine times out of ten, if you have the eight wins, you kind of already in a better position to win the championship than most people are. So for me, I agree with the texter that eight-win driver should be in a more favorable position to win the championship. But at the same time, any given seed can win the March Madness tournament, and no one complains whenever they do.
All right, so we have complained about the punishments doled out to the Astros. And we're furious that there were no punishments to the players because Rob Manfred did not want to deal with the Major League Baseball Players Association. What should be the penalty for Logano here?
Nothing. Nothing's going to happen to him.
Well, I know nothing's going to happen to him, but here's the reality of the situation. How many millions of dollars did he just throw away for all of these teams? All of the effort to be here. All of the effort to be a part of the Super Bowl of the sport. People's dreams on the line. And because he wants to get greedy, he takes 20 people out of the race.
He's going for the win.
He's taken, well, he rode up on somebody and he bashed somebody.
That's not his fault.
It's his fault that he ran into him.
How?
You don't run into him.
Okay, when you're going... When every car is floored down, pedal to the metal, they're all going 197 miles an hour.
I guarantee you, everyone watching this would say that was Logano's fault.
Yes, I will agree with you on that. I will agree that Logano caused that wreck. However, what they're not going to say is that because he bumped AJ Allmendinger, because that was a dirty move. That's not a dirty move.
I'm not saying it was dirty. I'm saying it was his fault.
Okay, yeah.
It's his fault.
He caused the wreck. However, nothing's going to happen to him due to the fact that that was 100% pure adrenaline racing.
It was also bad racing and bad driving. And he's responsible now for taking 20 people out of the race.
19 people were in that wreck.
19 cars.
Including Jimmy Johnson.
Wow. All right, coming up next, I'm getting pissed. I got to get in a better mood. We'll close the show with the best thing I heard today. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Programming notes. A little bit different schedule this week as we are being preempted for Clemson baseball. Value and appreciate our relationship with Clemson University and some baseball games coming up this week. We carry them here. So tomorrow I will be on 12 to 3:30. I will be on 12 to 3:30. Wednesday 12 to 3:30. Thursday 3 to 7. And Friday 12 to 3:30. The best thing we heard today. I love this. Absolutely love this. This is my guy, Ginger Billy. You heard of Ginger Billy, Patrick? He's on Facebook. He does these videos. I happen to agree with this video. Men, you're with me on this, right? Us dudes, listen, we like a level of thickness. There's no doubt about that. Thickness is a good thing. I think the most harmful thing, especially as a teacher to young girls, is this notion that guys want sticks, that guys want to date really, really, really thin women. I think thickness is a good thing. I think having something to hold on to is a very, very good thing. And Ginger Billy talks about that on Facebook in his own unique way.
So as a lot of y'all know, I have a thing for thick chicks, okay? When I say thick, I'm talking Lizzo.
And the computer has...
Of course.
So as a lot of y'all know, I have a thing for thick chicks. Okay, when I say thick, I'm talking Lizzo thick, J-Lo thick, Beyonce thick, Kelly Clarkson thick. You see, my wife is a thick chick. So right now, I'm going to tell all y'all fellas out there why you should get you a thick chick. Reason number one, because thick chicks have curves, and curves are sexy. You can take a thick chick, put her in any outfit, and it's going to look good because of them curves. And everything that's exciting, fun, and gets your heart pumping has curves. Roller coasters have curves, racetracks have curves, and sports cars have curves. So I guess you could technically say that thick chicks are the human version of a sports car. Except these sports cars have some junk in the trunk, if you know what I'm saying. All the delicious foods have curves. I mean, look at this pear. See this? This pear is delicious. Makes your mouth water. Want to know why? Because it's thick. Second reason why thick chicks are awesome. Because they either know how to cook good food, or they know where the good food's at. Or both. A thick chick don't get thick by eating salad and kale. They get thick because they know where the good food's at. So you ain't never gonna have to worry about a thick chick not knowing where she wants to eat. They are connoisseurs of good food. And let me tell you, a thick chick will never lose a piece of food because they got things that's gonna catch it if they drop it. Me and my wife was sitting at a restaurant one night. She went to eat a French fry and she dropped it. She caught it between her two thighs, which I call thunder and lightning. She picked it up from her thighs and continued to eat it. That is the night that I knew she was the one for me. The third reason you fellas should get you a thick chick is because yoga britches. That's all I gotta say. Yoga britches. Because thick chicks and yoga britches go together like milk and cookies. Every thick chick loves to wear yoga britches. And every man loves to see his thick chick wearing yoga britches. Reason number four. Because thick chicks make great cuddle buddies. You want to get warmed up on a cold winter night? You get up under the covers with your thick girlfriend or thick wife and you get up against them. That booty is like its own little heat generator. You'll be warm in no time. Reason number five, because it is scientifically proven that thick chicks with big butts are more intelligent, they are healthier and live longer, and they have smarter children. Now, I can tell you right now, all that's true because my wife is never sick. She is working on her fourth college degree, and my son is already smarter than me. And that right there, fellas, is just some of the many reasons why you should get you a thick chick. God bless y'all. I love you.
Amen. Thick chicks for the win. Do we agree, Patrick?
I mean, I'm married. I can't comment.
There you go. Thick chicks for the win, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Ginger Billy, for providing the best thing we heard today. Noon to 3:30 tomorrow, right here on the number one sports show in South Carolina, Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.